Hello friends, we are beginning with Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 71. We have just been completing the work on Capricorn, and the last presentation, it lasted a few hours, was dealing with decanates largely, and we ended with this final paragraph concerning Capricorn. We were talking about the development from the ambition for earthly gratification, thence to spiritual ambition, and eventually a desire for liberation will take the place of worldly ambition. So that is the spiritual ambition. And become an impelling impulse, until finally the moment arrives when a true sense of reality, which ambition per se can never disclose, never reveal, a true sense of reality supersedes both earthly and spiritual ambition. We can say that the individual is no longer working under the exoteric Saturn, but certainly the esoteric Saturn, as it gives way to the hierarchical Venus. The man can then say with truth, lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back. For him there remains now no goal but service. He therefore passes back through the gate of Cancer, which represents in this case the gate into the human kingdom. Yes, he will be reincarnated because he's not yet a fourth degree initiate, but he will enter purely for purposes of service in the lower worlds and service to the personalities of men, so that the soul nature within these personalities can express. But his consciousness, with his consciousness held steadily in the sign Aquarius, he then is a true world server. Perhaps not yet the liberated world server of the fourth initiation, but a true server who has taken the third initiation. And from being the world initiate in Capricorn, the true world disciple, who is the world initiate, he becomes an incarnated world server in Aquarius, and later a world savior in Pisces. And all of this may happen relatively quickly, because once the third initiation is taken, the fourth can often be taken in the same life. And, the fourth and fifth are often taken in the same life. That is, if death of the physical body does not supervene following the fourth initiation, which in many cases it does not. Now, the word light supernal, there are 14 references to this, and this is the reference that I've been looking for, actually, because it's not necessarily the lost am I in light supernal, but it is another view in Discipleship in the New Age of the light supernal. And I would recommend reading this. Yes, the first several references concerning the light supernal are different from the others that have to do with Capricorn per se. This is a marvelous one. The sons of men who are now the sons of God withdraw their faces from the shining light and radiate that light upon the sons of men who know not yet they are the sons of God. Then shall the coming one appear, his footsteps hastened through the valley of the shadow by the one of awful power, who stands upon the mountaintop breathing out love eternal, light supernal and peaceful, silent will. This is Sanat Kumara, and that which he breathes forth as light supernal is certainly greater than that which the third degree initiate will fully realize. Yes, when all is lost, it's a marvelous. I think we can make a nice little compilation out of this. Yes, now the Capricorn things are there. But let us go back. When the light of the seven rays, this is the fifth revelation. So the fourth point of revelation deals with purpose, and this is very advanced. Third point of revelation, the monad is to the planetary logos what the third eye is to man. This is page 369, almost 370. Then on 370, purpose itself is only an energy released within the confines of the council chamber. And there it must take shape. This involves the Buddhic or intuitional plane, refers to the fourth initiation, and concerns the throat center. Interesting. Yeah, but that's a whole other subject. Light upon the path. Purpose itself, am I, is a major word of power for the individual upon the third ray, from the third ray soul perspective. So the throat center could easily be involved when we're speaking about purpose. And then follows the next, the fifth revelation, which is as follows. When the light of the seven rays is blended with that of the seventh ray, then light supernal can be known. This involves the atmic plane, it relates to the fifth and sixth initiations, and concerns the alta major center and extra planetary light. Very, very high, and I think we see that the term light supernal is again a somewhat graded term, somewhat generic, and relates to several intensities or gradual intensifications of the light. The light supernal encountered by the initiate at the third degree in Capricorn is as much of the light, of the greater light supernal, as he can possibly realize. But this light goes on and concerns even the fifth and sixth initiations, and there are greater and lesser rays. When the light of the seven rays is blended with that of the seventh ray, which is the prevailing ray for the entire age of Aquarius. Who knows whether it's the prevailing ray for the greater 25,000 year or so age of Aquarius. There are various sources of rays. Some of them are planetary, but some of them are solar as well. There are seven solar systems, of which ours is one. Look particularly on page 50 of Esoteric Astrology to realize that we are not speaking of great constellations as if they were, each one of them, a solar system. But in fact, we are speaking of neighboring solar logoi and their suns. And one wonders whether the seven rays here might not be blended during this coming seventh ray age with the major seventh ray expression of that particular solar logos for whom the seventh ray is the major energy. There are a number of different sources that will be pulled in by the strong seventh ray, even as a planet will pull in the energies of particular zodiacal lords to whom this planet or this planetary logos is related. So the seventh ray can easily pull in on its alignment that particular not only the planet Uranus, let us say, and others of our own planets which have a strong seventh ray, but it will go extra systemically and pull in, I think, that particular solar logos of the six other solar logoi which are related to our solar logos in the seven solar systems of which ours is one. I believe it will pull in that particular solar logos for whom the major expression of that time is the seventh ray. It will also naturally pull in the energies of Capricorn, through which the seventh ray is pronouncedly expressive. So more of the seventh ray comes in through Capricorn at this time than through any other constellation, and it will pull in the energies of Aries, the presence of Aries, and the presence of Cancer as well. And then if we were to go to other constellations, which may be considered in some ways even greater, the strong seventh ray would pull in the influence of Draco, which from the point of view of the one about whom not may be said, is ruling the base of the spine center. And so, you know, when we deal with the presence of a particular ray, there are graduated intensifications of that ray. So the light of the seven rays here may be blended not just with the that one of the seven, which is powerful at the time, but may be blended with a greater source of the seventh ray, or the seventh ray from a still greater source. There's so much to be discussed here, but we can understand that the atmic plane is, in a way, a mental plane, or at least a mental ether, cosmically considered. And when we're talking about the light supernal, in general, for the third degree initiate, we're dealing with the fifth initiation, and therefore with a highly mental initiation in which illumination develops, emerges, and illusion is overcome. So this light supernal has a strong mental content, perhaps from the cosmic mind is involved in that, and the seventh ray is allowing the precipitation of this great light into our whole planetary system. There's much more to discuss, but we're really not on this subject. What I wanted to do was deal a little more with some of the ramifications of the light supernal, and to help us realize that this light supernal is more than the third degree initiate can possibly realize, as it connects with the fifth and sixth initiations, and with the atmic plane, which is the particular level at which the master of the wisdom is functioning. In other words, the atmic plane is the fifth from below, and as we ascend one plane after another, we realize that the higher mental plane is involved in the third initiation, the buddhic plane in the fourth, and the atmic plane in the fifth. So they proceed in a sequential manner. All of us are attempting to achieve an intensification of the light. There are so many light sources. In a way, all things that are upon the cosmic physical plane are really formal expressions of light. There are some planets which are better known, more effective, let us say, in producing an intensification of the factor of illumination. Vulcan is one, Mercury is another, Venus is another. But each one of the planetary sources will produce its own type of light, and each one of the zodiacal constellations will produce its own type of light. The light supernal is a blending of a number of lights, and it strikes me that this light supernal is really related to the light of the cosmic mental plane, and is a kind of light which the Buddha may have experienced on a very high gradation of that light at his great illumination, his sixth initiation, in which he received a kind of cosmic touch. The sixth initiation, the third plane, which is the atmic or nirvanic plane, there is a relation there between the six and the three. So the light of the mental, cosmic mental plane, I think, was made atmically available to the Buddha, also via this sixth initiation. He was in fact being released into his third ray monadic nature. So just to realize that lost am I in light supernal, one will experience as time passes increasing intensifications of light supernal. And as a matter of fact, in the Aquarian age, when the seventh ray is so prominent, this particular statement will really apply. When the light of the seven rays is blended with that of the seventh ray, then light supernal can be known. And there will be the making of many initiates during the Aquarian age, initiates who will be experiencing a certain gradation of the light supernal. Well, DK tells us this is a very abstruse matter. How very abstruse these apparently simple statements and then revelation can be. Really, it would be wonderful to be able to talk through and think through these books together. As I have formulated them above, they indicate that revelation in its primary and initiatory individual recognition, he's also, you know, he's suggesting this more. The meaning is, however, far greater than appears and is in reality related to the unfolding purpose of the planetary logos involving the planetary council. So this is involving the light of Shambhala, and we're told that in Shambhala we experience what's called unfettered enlightenment. And the light supernal is perhaps, as experienced by the initiative of the third degree, is perhaps an aspect of this absolutely unchained, unrestricted enlightenment, unfettered enlightenment. Yes, we will have to work through this if it is possible. Amazing. All right, but back to our subject, which now is Sagittarius. Sagittarius the Archer. We are beginning on page 174, and we have a chapter of almost 20 pages in the book, and we are making our way slowly in the counterclockwise direction, which is, I think, from the Tibetans' point of view, a heuristic method, a teaching method, a method which will bring certain points home to the student which have not been emphasized before, namely the clockwise direction that can be and will be taken by the average human being before the reversal of the wheel. This is a really new idea in astrology, and I think the DK is taking the signs in reverse order to somehow emphasize to the student that this method of regression, shall I call it, you know, perhaps not progression, but regression around the signs of the zodiac actually does exist. But as I've often said, what that regression really means is that there are lesser ways of responding to the energies of the signs of the zodiac, and that there are greater and more spiritual ways. And obviously, when there are the energy flows in the body of a certain kind, emphasizing the lower chakras, then a lower type of response to the signs of the zodiac is the one that is operative. And this is so for millions upon millions of years, until the first stages of the reversal of the wheel are occurring and the man is getting ready to become an aspirant. This, by the way, Sagittarius, is a sign of great aspiration. It's a major sixth ray sign. And it has, of course, the fifth ray of science and the fourth ray of intuition as well. Sagittarius the Archer. There are a number of different symbols for Sagittarius, and DK will describe them, all the way from the more primitive symbol of the centaur up to the arrow itself with a fragment of the bow, and through maybe four different presentations, symbolic presentations. This sign, as you know, a peculiarly human sign, is connected in a definite manner with the appearance of humanity upon our Earth. Now, two signs in which the Earth is prominent, were involved in individualization. And these are Gemini, hierarchically ruled by the Earth, and Sagittarius, esoterically ruled by the Earth. And the other sign, I think, was Leo, and Cancer was there as well. It was Sagittarius sponsored, as it were, the animal aspect of the coming human being. I think Sagittarius is very related to the animal kingdom through the numbers 6 and 3. And Sagittarius, in a way, represents the ninth sign. It's the completion of the development of the animal kingdom before it becomes initiated and enters the human kingdom. So a certain type of animal completed its process long ago. The early animal man of our fourth chain and fourth round in this Earth scheme. And under the influence of Gemini and the interplay between Gemini and Sagittarius in relation to the Earth, the fourth kingdom of nature was born. And we can see with Sagittarius distributing the fourth ray, it does have a close connection with the fourth kingdom. And I suppose we could say that as well of Taurus and Scorpio, each distributing the fourth ray. So without Sagittarius, let us say that animal man would not have aspired sufficiently to invoke the attention of the solar angels as part of our planetary process and the awakening of the planetary heart. We cannot really say that the individualization process was strictly the result of what animal man did, because in a way he was being invoked by higher energies as well. Okay. So, as I've been saying, this sign, Sagittarius, is definitely connected with the appearance of humanity upon our Earth for the reasons that I have been giving, although there are, of course, far deeper reasons. There are three of the zodiacal signs which are more closely connected with man than are any of the others. And these are Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. Leo, we've already seen, is closely involved with the individualization process. Sagittarius, we're discussing now. And Aquarius is a very human sign in a certain respect, and we will attempt to understand why this should be so. In one peculiar but not yet provable manner, they are related to the three aspects of body, soul, and spirit. Okay, and let's see how he does this. Because there's a way to look at Aquarius in relation to the spirit, the soul in relation to Leo, and the body in relation to Sagittarius. We'll see how DK follows this out. The following tabulation or concise statement of rather momentous implications may serve to make this clearer. Okay, Leo, Sagittarius, Aquarius, I think I'm going to make this a little bit less large. Okay. Right, here is the tabulation, and DK actually does this in a different way because it looks like he puts Leo in the position of relating to the physical nature, even though so often of the three fire signs, it's the one that relates particularly to the soul, with Sagittarius relating to the body and Aries to the spirit. So we have, there are different ways to read this, and I think we should read it across and then read it down, as we're liable to get a greater understanding. Leo, Sagittarius, Aquarius, okay, and they all have the factor of Jupiter connected with them. Possibly in Leo, exoterically, the sun is really hiding Jupiter. Sagittarius has the exoteric Jupiter, and Aquarius the esoteric Jupiter. So the lion, the centaur, half man, half horse, and the water carrier, a fully human figure. Leo is the man, so he's the ordinary man in a sense. He is the man who realizes himself as a personality, but not yet the soul. The archer is the one who takes aim at a higher possibility, and therefore the factor of aspiration is built into the archer. And then the server is one who has achieved and is distributing that which he has achieved. Leo has achieved self-consciousness at whatever level that may be focused. Let us think of it as at first the personal consciousness, knowing oneself as an integrated personality. Sagittarius takes this consciousness and focuses it in a certain direction, which will lead toward focalization within the higher self, or even beyond. And in Aquarius, we achieve the group consciousness, which is certainly beyond the ring pass knot of the ordinary Leo individual. Sagittarius, in a way, is aspiring towards this group consciousness achieved in Aquarius. The physical nature is discussed in terms of Leo, the king of beasts. All of the instincts are there, and the egoistic sense of man is very much involved with his identification with the physical body. Sagittarius is one of the major sixth-ray signs, and we note that Sagittarius rules the lunar lords here. So this is specifically involved with the astral plane and with the emotional nature. Okay. Then, let us go further. Aquarius is involved with the lower mental nature. Aquarius is a sign which brings in much of the fifth ray. And we know that it is implicated in the development of concrete science, as is Uranus on a lower turn of the spiral. We may remember that there was a decanate sign, decanates, in which, I think it was Aquarius, wasn't it? I think so. Let's take a look here. Yes, on the ordinary wheel, the moon was veiling Uranus in the third decanate for the average person, and the moon, Uranus here, represented concrete science. Okay. Now, Leo is a major sign of integration, the power which results from integration and the expression which results from integration, but this can often be simply the integrated selfish personality. Then comes aspiring man who wants to go beyond his present level of integration and to include still more in his identity. So we reach beyond the ring pass knot of Leo through the focused aspiration of Sagittarius. And we achieve, of course, Sagittarius also is an intuitive sign, but we become soul-focused, and thereby intuitive. In other words, if the consciousness is focused on the higher mental plane, we are both mentally focused in the illumined mind and intuitively focused. So there is much of the intuition involved in Aquarius as well, probably brought in through both Uranus and Jupiter. The Leo represents the human soul, which is the that aspect of monadic consciousness which has focused itself within the elemental nature. Sagittarius is representing the spiritual human soul, which is reaching towards its identification with the soul on its own plane and with the spiritual triad. And Aquarius represents full soul consciousness and also focus within the area of the true soul, which is the spiritual triad. Leo was prominent at individualization and brought the man through to the state of integrated being. That integrated being is used as the foundation for a new type of training called discipleship, and Sagittarius rules the one-pointed disciple. Aquarius is a major sign of initiation, especially beginning at the third degree and including the fourth degree, although that's not to say that it cannot be found at other degrees, such as the second, let us say. But discipleship leads to initiation, and Sagittarius, in this case, leads to Aquarius. They are both forward-looking signs, and they both have a powerful Jupiter component, Jupiter representing the expansion of consciousness. But in the case of Aquarius, it's an esoteric Jupiter, and it's a much greater expansion of consciousness. It's participatory rather than simply speculative. So often we have in Sagittarius speculation regarding the nature, of the higher states, and in Aquarius we actually have the participation. Leo is preeminently the sign of personality. Sagittarius leads us towards focus on the higher mental plane. Higher mind is one of the qualities especially expressive in relation to Sagittarius. And Aquarius, well, one of its higher expressions is that of the spirit of man. It represents, in a way, Aquarius represents not only the concrete mind, as we've seen, it represents the universal mind and the universal awareness of the monad. How else is the sense of universality to be cultivated other than through appropriating the true awareness of the monad on its own plane? These are the crosses on which they are found, fixed cross, mutable cross, and fixed cross, Leo, Sagittarius, Aquarius. Leo is the sign of centralization. Now, how is centralization different from focus? We saw that Sagittarius ruled the principle of focus, but in a way, so does Leo, a kind of a centering of the consciousness within a limited ring pass knot that we call the lower ego. But that lower ego can aspire towards higher things and can reorient. Sagittarius rules this orientation, this facing of the east. We might even say facing of Orion, in a way. This facing of the east, whereby the consciousness can be elevated because the wisdom and illumination are coming from the east. And finally, Aquarius is the very opposite of Leo, in a sense. It's it decentralizes the lower ego so that the individual gets the sense of participating within or participating in the many different selves that are held together within a still larger ring pass knot. If we go further, we will see individual unity. At least this is in the lower stage of Leo, individual unity. Sagittarius intuitively senses that there is a higher self in addition to a lower self. So this is a useful and constructive duality. The duality when you that occurs when you know that you are what you are, but you may also be something still higher. You are the higher self as well as the familiar lower self. And then Aquarius, universal unity. This sense of universality emerges in such a way that we realize that the very large the very large picture that we sense is in fact a single entity. So it goes through various ring pass knots, and I think the word universal here represents the solar system, but it can certainly represent that which is far greater. And no matter how great our ring pass knot may be, we realize that whatever we can perceive and include in our consciousness is really part of a great unification. There's a oneness that pervades all that we can perceive. Aquarius will reveal this. A fire sign, and an air sign. Yes, that we realize. Leo on the lower turn of the spiral is self-centeredness. That center is created, and the consciousness doesn't deviate very far from that center, and that means a lack of caring about others that are encountered. This is defined as selfishness, self-absorption, without caring about the other selves. Let other forms exist. I rule because I am. That is one of the Leo mantras, the lower one. Interesting here that struggle is given to Sagittarius. It's oftentimes a sign given to Taurus or to Scorpio, both of them fourth-ray signs, as Sagittarius is also a fourth-ray sign. And whenever there's a high idealism or this sense of the contrast between what is and what could be or is on a higher turn of the spiral, there's a struggle to achieve that higher state. There's an orientation towards it, but one may be pulled back by lesser impulses. And finally, when the struggle is somewhat terminated and achievement results, we have the factor of service achieved in Aquarius, the major sign of service. Virgo is often connected with service as well, but Sagittarius works from great abundance and pours out all that it has achieved and all that has accumulated in the causal body or in the higher head center. Leo is involved with the factor of the general path of evolution, which is the augmentation of the powers of the personality or of the lower self. But Sagittarius focuses on a further stage where one is oriented towards treading the path towards liberation. This is the final path. And Sagittarius is associated with initiates of both the first and second degree, as we will see in this chapter. And then finally, liberation in relation to Aquarius, the fourth and final sign of the fixed cross, of blinding light, Taurus, fiery pain, Leo, bitter woe, Scorpio, and yet the cross of liberation, Aquarius. So these are the comparisons of this momentous tabulation, as DK talks about it, a tabulation with momentous implications. So let's just read down and see what we gather. Leo, the lion, the man, self-consciousness, physical nature, integrated man, the human soul, that's the immersed soul, consciousness immersed in the lower three worlds, individualization, personality, the fixed cross, centralization, individual unity, fire, selfishness, and evolution. Now, obviously, Leo is much more than that, but DK is comparing these signs in terms of the evolution of man. And so he's beginning at a relatively early stage over which Leo dominates. Then let's look at the Sagittarius column. Sagittarius, the centaur, the archer. The archer is more than the centaur. The archer is already a human. He's a human astride a horse, and he's carrying a bow and arrow. Later, the human is left out of it altogether, and simply the aspiring intuitive mind, the bow and arrow, is there and emphasizing the arrow. A focused consciousness, the emotional nature, aspiring man, spiritual human soul, although still human but spiritualized, discipleship, egoic focus, if not yet egoic polarization, the mutable cross, orientation towards the great light, sense duality of the higher and lower self, fire, struggle towards the ideal, and treading of the final path. Let's read the column of Aquarius, because, you know, doing them in different ways, different arcs of light can flash forth. When we read in terms of comparison, we are bringing together different factors and looking for particular relationships between them. And these can be hierarchical relationships. One of the factors higher than another, one of them central, one of them lowest. So the highest, the central, and the lowest. But when we read in the column, we are studying in a way topically, and we are zeroing in on a particular quality of energy, and we should intensify our understanding of what that quality of energy is. So Aquarius is the water carrier, who is essentially the server. He is group conscious. You know, there are superficial Aquarians too, obviously we know that, but DK is looking at the development of man in terms of the Aquarian stage, which he considers high. It rules the lower mental nature in one respect when compared to the personality aspects, but also intuitive mental man. So that's buddhimanus, isn't it? It's the spiritual soul, so that's at least the soul on the higher mental plane, and even within the triad, initiation is involved. There is eventually monadic focus following triadal focus. The fixed cross is involved. It's the highest expression of the fixed cross. Decentralization, universal unity, not just the unity of the little self, but a very broad embrace of factors all seen in a unity. It is an air sign, therefore related with the cosmic ethers and with Buddhi. Its major form of expression is service or outpouring of that which is of value to many, and it brings us to liberation. Okay. Right. I could continue to summarize the qualities and characteristics of these three and their peculiar interrelation, but the above will suffice amply to demonstrate the connection between them, a strong connection. He does say Leo is the most human of all signs. Sagittarius contributed to what animal man could become, namely a member of the fourth or human kingdom, and Aquarius promises us a fulfilled destiny of the human being. He relates he's, you know, we can understand how Leo and Sagittarius are very human signs, but why Aquarius particularly? Well, it has the human glyph, and I think it speaks of the destiny of the fourth kingdom of nature. Okay, but the above will suffice amply to demonstrate the connection between them and their progressive effect, effect upon the subject. So he's talking about the evolution of man, and the idea behind it is that man is constantly improving, and improving under the impress of these three signs particularly. In other words, we're making a transition from the fourth kingdom of nature to the fifth. And Leo is here representing the fourth kingdom of nature, Sagittarius the transition towards the fifth kingdom of nature, and Aquarius, a secure habitation of the fifth kingdom of nature. Okay, the kingdom of souls. And the kingdom of souls is a group conscious kingdom. Souls are all of them group conscious, realizing, in fact, that each soul is really a kind of temporary center within the one soul. So we're talking here about the connection between these and their progressive effect upon the subject, passing under the influence periodically and cyclically. We are born and reborn, coming under these signs and always rising. So, of course, when you're an average human being, Leo may have one effect upon you, but when you're a disciple, quite another. And when you are an average human being, Sagittarius, which is here given as the sign of discipleship, one-pointed discipleship, will have not a disciplic effect upon the individual, but will promote desires and ambitions and all sorts of quests to fulfill those desires and so forth. So we realize we can interpret any sign from a personal, transitional, or soul perspective, but DK is laying them out here as if they are related to three distinct phases of human development. So we come under various signs periodically and cyclically. You might ask, you know, yourself, when was the last time I was born in the particular sign I'm born now, and how did I express that energy? Perhaps a flash of intuition will come. It may have been thousands of years ago. They are frequently referred to as the signs which, when studied, will reveal divine intent in man. Okay, well, certainly the idea of divine intent is very much related to Sagittarius, will mark the points of crisis in his progress, and will, when the three influences which they express have done their work, carry the man from door to door, for Leo is the next sign to Cancer, and Sagittarius is the sign which precedes Capricorn. Well, you know, interestingly, Leo, the sign of individualization, on the clockwise wheel, carries the man towards birth or rebirth in Cancer. Sagittarius, the sign of great aspiration and focused, one-pointed intent, carries the man toward the higher gate in Capricorn, the doorway into life of those who know not death. So Sagittarius leads us through that gate of initiation, and Leo, giving way to Cancer, leads towards the great process of incarnation in lower form. Okay. Reveal divine intent in man. Well, we'd have to ponder on that. We can see, you know, that there is this intention in the Leonian fourth kingdom to rise out of it eventually towards a still higher kingdom. Sagittarius is the one of the focal means of doing so. And once we have reached this kingdom of souls, Aquarius can broaden the consideration and include still greater wholes and allow us to become members of the sixth kingdom, even, which are the kingdom of planetary lives, which are having a certain universality in their consciousness, which is characteristic of the Aquarian energy, the sign of universality. Okay, so these are signs which carry the man from door to door. See, we have to be dealing with the clockwise wheel here in relation to Leo and Cancer, because Leo, moving clockwise, gives way to Cancer, but counterclockwise, Cancer gives way to Leo. So that would not work in this context. But from the counterclockwise perspective, Sagittarius definitely does prove itself in Capricorn, where the initiate is created and can pass through the higher one of the gates. Okay. Sagittarius is sometimes depicted as an archer on a white horse. Here we have the symbolism of the human stage of Sagittarius, not the centaur stage. And a study of the meaning of the symbolism will reveal a great deal of inner teaching. The white horse, of course, white horse, is the purified personality. We don't necessarily see so many centaurs whose horse-like portion is white. Because the centaur is far from purified, he's very much the symbol of animal man. So D.K. says this is one of the later ways of portraying this constellation. We do remember the whole idea of the rider on the white horse and the Kalki avatar and the coming savior with whom the Christ is identified. Probably the avatar has come many times in the form of different individualities. This is one of the later ways of portraying this constellation. Earlier in Atlantean days, from which period we have inherited what we know about astrology, so that's millions of years old, isn't it? No wonder he calls it the oldest and the greatest of all the sciences, although it's older still than Atlantean days. Obviously, it's ageless. The sign was frequently depicted by the centaur, the fabulous animal, the fabled animal, which was half man and half horse. So the emotional nature was very strong because the horse represents the emotional nature, and I would say not entirely guided by the man, which represents the thinker. The horse is very connected with the sixth ray. It is a sixth ray animal. DK tells us it's related to Neptune and to the astral plane and to the general motivating power of the emotional nature. The horse symbolism dominated Atlantean myths because, after all, Atlantis was an emotional civilization. The horse symbolism dominated Atlantean myths and symbols, just as the ram and the lamb are prominently to be found in our modern presentations. Well, perhaps the ram and the lamb are more related to Aries, and Aries to the mind. Aries related to the mind and therefore to the Aryan age. This earlier sign of the centaur stood for the evolution and development of the human soul. That is the really that aspect of monadic consciousness which is immersed in the human elemental nature that we know as the personality. All soul, all awareness is that of the monad. Even when we talk about the soul on its own plane, it's still monadic awareness in a certain state of lesser immersion than immersion in the elemental nature of the personality. So the human soul is very much the encapsulated consciousness, encapsulated within the triple elemental nature of the lunar lords. This earlier sign of the centaur stood for the evolution and development of the human soul with its human objectives, its selfishness, its identification with form, its desire, and its aspirations. So here we have a very good description of the centaur and all that the centaur is identified with. The immersed soul, which does not really know that it is spiritual or divine, and we have human desires or objectives, selfishness, caring very much or much more about what one feels within one's own ring pass knot than what anybody else may be feeling within theirs, identification with form and not with a larger or subtler field, desire and aspirations. That's the centaur. The archer on the white horse, which is the more strictly Aryan symbol for this sign, therefore maybe not so old, because the Aryan race has been going for a million years, and if we understand correctly from Philip Lindsay's Hidden History of Humanity, perhaps its origins are even 4 million years old, but most of theosophy gives it a definite 1 million year history. The Aryan symbol for the sign signifies the orientation of man towards a definite goal, and therefore he's riding his motive nature, his emotional nature. He's directing it aspirationally. His mind, the mind of man, is directing his aspirations. The mind of man is directing his aspirations towards a chosen goal. Not just an instinctual goal. The man then is then not part of the horse, and that's important. He has distinguished himself from that instinctual nature, but is freed from identification with it and is the controlling factor, which seems to imply that for the centaur, much control arises from the animal nature, which is still very much a part of the man. The definite goal of the centaur, which is the satisfaction of desire and animal incentives, becomes in the later stage the goal of initiation. He's riding towards the mountaintop. He's going towards that second gate. These signs are taking the man from door to door, and Sagittarius is taking the man towards the higher door in Capricorn. So, becomes in later stages the goal of initiation, which meets with satisfaction in Capricorn after the preliminary work has been done in Sagittarius. So, we have probationary initiates in Sagittarius, initiates of the first and second degree, but the third initiation is more often, I think, taken in Capricorn. I suppose if you have an astrological chart in which there is a great deal of Sagittarius leading to a strong concentration in Capricorn, say as the rising sign, we have a situation in both the second, in which both the second and third degree can be taken, or in which the born second degree initiate can make his way directly towards the mountaintop in Capricorn. The keynote of the centaur is ambition. Now, this connects him, connected with the lower keynote of Capricorn, isn't it? Let ambition rule and the door stand wide. So there is Mars is involved in both places. Mars is a major planet of ambition, which is the sort of the focus, satisfaction of desire and the determination at all costs to satisfy that desire. So ambition is found in both of these signs at a certain stage of evolution, and I suppose spiritual ambition would be found in both of these signs as well. Worldly ambition, spiritual ambition, and then finally the orientation towards reality, as we have been told. The keynote of the archer, however, is aspiration and direction. You know, Sagittarius can be a very undirected sign in the beginning. It's like, as we sometimes say humorously, the man who jumped on his horse and rode off in all directions. So, you know, the whole idea of the knight errant introduces the possibility of error or of chance encounters. Not necessarily goal-oriented encounters, but encounters of the one who sets off on a quest, perhaps not knowing exactly where he is going, but trusting that he will encounter that which he must. The error part of this is reduced as the individual becomes more one-pointed. The keynote of the archer is aspiration and direction, and both are expressions of human goals, but one is of the personality and the other is of the soul. The centaur can aspire, the centaur can attempt to move in a certain direction, but generally the factor of direction comes in with the intensification of the mind, and so in the archer, for the archer, let's just say aspiration is directed by the mind. Both are expression of human goals, but one is of the personality, the other is of the soul. So I think here we see very well that DK is contrasting the centaur with the archer, one a much earlier symbol of the sign Sagittarius, and we still see many centaur-like people, in a way, born in Sagittarius, but we also see those who have control over their animal nature and are successfully directing it. Well, okay, friends, we've had an interesting. I'm not going to take this too far because there was a little mishap with the sound. So I'm going to say this is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 71, and we've gone from page 174 to 176, and I'm hoping that this may, after all, be two programs rather than one, and I'll find out very shortly. Then I will continue, we will continue our work accordingly. So we will sound the great invocation together, and then I hope if there was some wandering in the middle of the program when I was trying to fix the problem, that that can be cut out. So we go. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 72. We will continue our work with Sagittarius. We're dealing with the Centaur and the Archer. And until then, which I hope will be soon, study hard and synthesize the knowledge so that it can become wisdom. See you then. Okay. Bye-bye.